Hello, I'm Rick Lancaster. Thank you for tuning in. Grab your Bible as we study through God's Word together. It's my hope that as we go through these messages, that we will all grow in our understanding of God's Word. As we grow in our understanding, we'll also be better equipped to glorify God, bless others, and grow faith, ours and others. If you have any questions about anything in this teaching, send me a message. I would love to connect with you. With that said, let's get into the Word and see what the Spirit would say to us today.
All right, let's go ahead and get started. Welcome to the Future Today Prophecy Meeting. As we look at things that are going on in the world and compare them to what the Bible says. And the way that we structure this meeting, for those of you that are new to it, is I do a short teaching at the beginning on some topic related to prophecy, and then Randy will do an update where he'll talk about current events, things in the news, and how they relate to Bible prophecy, and then we'll open it up at the end for questions. And that's an important part of this meeting, and it's something we really want your involvement with. And you know, sometimes we get it, sometimes we don't. There are no stupid questions. There are no dumb questions. We really like it because it gives us a chance to share some of the things that we may not get to in our part of the meeting. And it doesn't have to relate to something necessarily that we talk about. If there's something going on in the world and you think, you know, does that relate to Bible prophecy in some way and it doesn't come up in what we say, then ask the question because somebody else may have that question as well. So please, we really encourage that interaction that way. It's an important part of the meeting for us, and so we really would like you to be involved in that. All right? Okay? Somebody, yeah, nod your heads like, yeah, I got my questions already lined up, Pastor. All right, good job. All right, so I don't know about you guys. Would anybody say that 2020 was a weird year, right? And 2021 is maybe a little better, but it's still a little weird out there. The COVID-19 pandemic changed the world. I mean, I don't know that you could say any differently. I just happened to have jury duty last week, they totally changed the way they do it. And you know, the first part of it, you know, to get there was the same, but when I got there, you know, they had the whole social distancing in a room. They normally have 300 people in, they had 80 people in, and we're all separated, you know, and we all have our masks on. But the whole process they use, they actually streamlined the whole thing. In that case, you know, it's actually what I thought was an improvement. But we see that everywhere that we go, there are changes taking place. And a lot of them probably are not for the good. But COVID-19 has changed everything. And I don't know, it's not COVID that changed it. It's the way the world responded to the pandemic that changed it, that changed the world, the way that things are going on. And so... You know, the Bible teaches us something, that nothing comes to pass, and David alluded to this, you know, before, during worship, nothing comes to pass that God hasn't already seen, that he hasn't seen completely. In Isaiah 49, 9 and 10, it says this: I am God, and there is no other. In case you have any questions, there's only one. I am God, and there is none like me. Declaring the end from the beginning and from ancient times things that are yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand and I will do all my pleasure. What that says to us is that before there was a moment of time, a single moment of time, God knew everything that would happen in time. In absolute finite detail, he knew absolutely everything, including every element, every facet, every moment, every thought, every breath that we take as individuals. He knows us down to the cellular level, down to the, you know, whatever the smallest level is. He knows us in absolute finite detail. No, infinite detail. He knows everything. And so, what he did is so that God's people could be prepared for what's going to come in the future, he told us in advance. He inspired men, primarily men, but some women, primarily men, to write down the things that are coming. And we refer to that as prophecy. There are things that are in the future that where God said something was going to happen before it happened, that's referred to as prophecy. And he did that throughout the Bible. Now, throughout the Bible, there are places where prophecy has been fulfilled, but there's a great large section of prophecy that is yet to be fulfilled. You know, one of the greatest places we see prophecy being fulfilled was in the first advent of the first coming of Jesus Christ. That was proclaimed, that was predicted in advance. It happened exactly the way, on the exact day that Jesus or God said things were going to happen, it happened. And so we recognize there's still things future that have not happened. So the Bible, we're going to get into one section of that in a section, but the Bible was given to us because sin ruined what God made perfectly. And it ruined especially the intimate communion fellowship relationship that God intended for his highest creation. God intended that we would be in this beautiful walking in the cool of the day in the garden with God. That's what he wanted for his people. Well, sin messed that up, corrupted that, broke that. The whole Bible, the Bible was written so that we would know that God has a plan to fix it, to fix that. If sin hadn't come into the world, we wouldn't need the Bible. We would be in intimate communion fellowship with God. So the Bible exists so that we know there is a future day coming when that communion will be repaired and restored. That's what the Bible tells us about. And so God wanted his people to know that, and so he told us in advance what all these things going on, so that we would have hope when we look around the world and we see things, you know, falling apart. We look at what's going on in Israel, and rockets are falling, just hundreds of them falling, and we say, wow, what is going on here? Is it, you know, what's God doing and all this? Well, the Bible tells us what's going on. And so if we'll be faithful to study those things, it will help us to understand it. So there's a big chunk of the Bible that still is, we're waiting for it to be fulfilled. That's why we have these meetings, because there's still prophecies that we're waiting to be fulfilled. They'll come in the future. One such book is the book of Revelation. So if you have your Bible, turn to Revelation 13. 2020 was weird. 2021, a little less weird, but still weird stuff going on. And something Pastor Randy has said several times is things are not falling apart, they are falling into place. Now, I think he was quoting somebody, but I have no idea who it was, so I'm going to quote him as saying it. He's my hero. The purpose of these meetings is to help us see how these things going on in the world line up with Bible prophecy so that it does a number of things. It gives us comfort. If we know that what's going on in the world, God knew it in advance, and we can see how these things are lining up, then we can be at peace, even though we're in a world that is in turmoil, and in many places that turmoil may be touching our lives. So we still can have peace in the midst of all of that, as well as we can have boldness speaking forth the truth of God and moving forward into a world that is just broken. So we do this so that we are prepared, so that we are encouraged, so that we are comforted, so that we are at peace. So let's pray, and then we'll get into my teaching for today. Heavenly Father, I pray, Lord, that you would minister to our hearts these truths, that we'd understand them, and that we would be at peace, Lord, even as the world is freaking out around us. We thank you, Lord, for all that you're going to do in Jesus' name. Amen. Not all the world is freaking out. Some part of the world is just blindly going in the direction that that the culture is going in. In Revelation chapter 13, the Apostle Paul, excuse me, John, I know who I'm talking about, in the revelation, in the vision, you know, because God gives him this revelation, really opens up to him. And as we're studying through Revelation on Tuesday mornings, which, by the way, we're not meeting this week, as we study through that, one of the things that we need to understand is that John was transported in this revelation to witness these things. And so when he's describing these things, he's an eyewitness to these things. It's mysterious. We don't understand how it happened, but God works outside of time. He can go past, present, and future because he's God, and he just does those things. But what he does here in Revelation 13 is he introduces two characters in the account or in the timeline of the Revelation story. And so we pick it up, and we're going to read the whole chapter eventually, but so just bear with me. But verse 1, then I, that is John, stood on the sand of the sea, and I saw a beast rising out of the sea, having 7 heads and 10 horns, and on his horns 10 crowns, and on his heads a blasphemous name. Now the beast which I saw was like a leopard, his feet were like the feet of a bear, and his mouth like the mouth of a lion. The dragon gave him his power, his throne, and great authority. So this first person is someone we refer to as the Antichrist. That's how he's identified in the scripture, a very specific person that will rise up. Now, if we believe, somebody's always pointing, is this person the Antichrist or is that person the Antichrist? Well, we don't know. No one knows. Could the Antichrist be alive today? Yes, absolutely. If we are in the end times, somebody might be being prepared right this very moment to be the Antichrist, but he doesn't know that. We don't know that. We just have to wait for other events to take place. But it says the dragon gave him his power. Now, the dragon is also identified in other places as the devil, Satan, Lucifer, the serpent in the garden, same person. The dragon and the devil or Satan are the same being. Satan is an immensely powerful being, at least compared to humans. No human is capable of standing against Satan. He is infinitely more power, not infinitely, but significantly more power than any human. Compared to God, not so much. God is infinitely more powerful than Satan is. And the only way that we stand against him is in the power of the Holy Spirit, in the power of God, upon the truth of God. But what Satan does is he gives this person his power, which makes this person very powerful, very influential, and he's able to accomplish the devil's schemes and plans and will, which is part of what we will see unfolding in the book of Revelation. Continue on, verse 3. And I saw one of his heads as if it had been mortally wounded, and his deadly wound was healed, and all the world marveled and followed the beast. A false resurrection is what that is. And so they worship the dragon who gave authority to the beast. That's devil worship, in case you're wondering. And they worship the beast, saying, who is like the beast, who is able to make war with him? Beast is the Antichrist. And he was given a mouth speaking great things and blasphemies, which is, speaking against God. And he was given authority to continue for 42 months, 3.5 years. That's half of the tribulation period. Then he opened his mouth in blasphemy against God to blaspheme his name, his tabernacle, and those who dwell in heaven. So he's blaspheming everything there is about God. It was granted to him to make war with the saints. Those are people who come to faith in Jesus Christ after the rapture, during the tribulation period, and to overcome them, and authority was given to him over every tribe, tongue, and nation. That's over the entire world. He has authority over the entire world. All who dwell on the earth, which kind of says that again, will worship him whose names have not been written in the book of life, the book of the life of the Lamb, slain from the foundation of the world. That's a fascinating thing we'll get to once we in the study. If anyone has an ear, let him hear. He who leads into captivity shall go into captivity. He who kills with the sword must be killed with the sword. Here is the patience and the faith of the saints. So the Antichrist is going to come. He's going to wage war against those who are believers during that time, and he is going to basically take authority over the whole world. Next character is the false prophet. Verse 11, then I saw another beast coming up out of the earth, and he had 2 horns like a lamb, which implies that he's a religious character, and spoke like a dragon. So he's a religious person that speaks like the devil. Yeah, well, we're not going to get into that. those people are already out there. And he exercises all authority of the first beast, the Antichrist, in his presence and causes the earth and those who dwell in it to worship the first beast, whose deadly wound was healed. He performs great signs, miracles. This false prophet does miracles so that he even makes fire come down from heaven on the earth in the sight of men, and he deceives those who dwell on the earth by those signs which he was granted to do in the sight of the beast, telling those who dwell on the earth to make an image of the beast who was wounded by the sword and lived. He was granted power to give breath to the image of the beast, that the image of the beast should both speak and cause as many as would not worship the image of the beast to be killed. So this image, which many believe to be a statue of some kind, is, you know, given some kind of life that you know, some, and while technologically we can imagine this, one of the things I tell in the study, it doesn't have to be technological. It can just be miraculous, because those kinds of things are happening all over the place. So don't try to force a technological answer into that. Sorry. He causes all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and slave, to receive a mark on their right hand and on their foreheads, and that no one may buy or sell except one has the mark or the name of the beast or the number of his name. Here is wisdom. Let him who has understanding calculate the number of the beast, for it is the number of a man. His number is 666. So we're introduced here to this concept that we refer to as the mark of the beast. And it's a mark either on the hand or on the forehead. Now, there's lots of supposition about what it looks like and how it's going to do. The Bible just says it's a mark. And so for us trying to force an interpretation, a practical interpretation to that, is just an exercise in imagination. You can imagine whatever you want. What it's going to be is what it's going to be, what's going to happen? The significant thing about what's going to happen is, without it, you cannot buy or sell what? Anything. Food, water, electricity, medicine, anything. You cannot buy or sell without this mark. So most of us grew up, I'm saying a lot of us probably grew up in a world where that was science fiction. That was not possible. There was no one could control the whole world, especially world's commerce, so that you could not buy or sell without some sort of thing like this. So the question that I'm addressing here this morning, is the world ready for the mark of the beast? Is the world prepared for it? Now, the quick answer to that is not quite yet, but it's getting closer. It's getting closer. The COVID-19 virus, it was no joke, right? I mean, people died. But as we look at it, for those of us that were, you know, were sensitive to this, it didn't seem to warrant the response that was put forward. The mask rules and the social distancing seemed arbitrary. There were some arbitrary elements to it, and not completely supported by the science. That there was science that even refuted what the other scientists were saying, and so there was this great debate going back. And then came the draconian lockdowns, where telling some businesses or some organizations or some entities you had to shut down, but then others didn't. And so there was like this, okay, like, wait a minute, you know, what are you, you know, what is right here? What should we be doing? You know, and some of those places that shut down will never reopen. And there are a number of churches that closed down because of the lockdowns, and they're still not open. And they will probably never reopen. One of the things that caught my attention was how willing people were to follow these directions, even when the science didn't line up with, didn't, it seemed to contradict these mandates. Even today, I mean, you'll see people driving in their cars all by themselves with masks on. And, you know, they are, and I don't know why they do it, you know, but somehow they've been convinced that this is what they need to do. One of the things I thought was just weird, and I haven't really looked into it, did you notice that there was a national coin shortage right around the beginning of the lockdowns? Stores started telling people, you must pay with exact change or use a card. Yeah. Now, I don't know about you, but I've stopped carrying around exact change a long time ago. I just don't do it. And so the use of cards, bank cards, just went crazy. Can you say cashless society? You know, they're kind of reverting back, so we're not seeing it as much anymore, but there's a preparation going on. There is a preparing people to respond. They have a crisis, and then they put all these mandates out, and in many cases, people are following them blindly without really understanding what they're being led into. Now, I don't believe that someone in the government is trying to bring about the mark of the beast. I just don't believe that's true. But remember, Ephesians 6:12, we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly place. Now, I don't believe that there's anyone trying to say, you know, we got to bring the mark of the beast in. But I do believe that people are being influenced spiritually to do things that prepare for the mark of the beast. They're influencing people to be ready for it. Now, as Christians, we're not afraid of the mark of the beast, right? We have no fear of the mark of the beast. It doesn't come until the midpoint of the tribulation. And that doesn't start until after Jesus has come and snatched his church out of the world. So if you're a believer in Jesus Christ, you're not going to see it. You're not going to see the mark of the beast. You're not going to see the Antichrist. You're not going to see the false prophet. You're not going to see the horror that this world is going to have to go through as God judges the wicked, godless, Christ-rejecting world for the rebellion of all this time. So every time we see these strange things going on, remember, they're not really that strange. They are the things that God said was going to happen. And we can see that they are preparing for this time that is coming in the future. And so, as Randy said, things are not falling apart, they're falling into place. And so the reason why we do this series is to remind us that these things that are going on, including what's going on in Israel, Randy's going to talk about that a lot today. These things are not unusual. They're not mysterious. We know, based on what God's word said, that these kinds of things are coming. And so, you know, Jesus told us to watch for these things in Luke 21:28. Now, when these things begin to happen, what things? The things he said were going to happen. When these things begin to happen, look up. Lift up your heads. Your redemption draws near. Now, for us as believers, it's not redemption from sin, because that's already taken care of, but it's the redemption of the body is coming for us. And so we ought to rejoice in that as we see that, you know, and as I've almost always remind us about, but there's another side to that. For us, this is good news. The world, it's not. And it ought to bring some sense of grief, care, concern for those who are going to have to go through it. And it ought to drive us and motivate us and stir up the love that God has poured into us to want to prevent. And I teach through the book of Revelation. One of the main reasons I teach the book of Revelation is I want people to understand it. What's coming? You know, once you get into chapter 4, what's coming, I don't want anyone to experience. Mm-hmm. Not even my worst enemy. No one. There has never been an event in human history that will parallel what's coming in the tribulation period. And we should long to bring people out of that time. And so we teach. Basically, don't get freaked out. Don't freak out. Look up. Don't freak out. Get excited. Jesus could be coming back at any moment. So let's get busy sharing his word, and the hope that we have in Jesus Christ. Amen? Amen.
Thank you for listening to this teaching from God's Word. It's one of my core beliefs that the Bible or Word of God has the power to transform our lives. It's my hope that these messages will help you to do just that and to glorify God and bless others and grow faith. If there's anything that we can do to help you with that, don't hesitate to connect with me. You'll find ways to do that in the show notes. In the show notes, you'll also find links to my sermon notes and other resources to help you in your study of God's Word. And sometimes we do need help to grow in our faith. If there's anything that I can do, don't hesitate to connect with me. I love talking to God's people about God and His Word. So send me your questions, and I'll do my best to answer them. This message was shared at Calvary Chapel French Valley in Murrieta, California. If you'd like more information about the church, go to calvaryfv.com. The link is in the show notes. Until next time, stay in the Word and have a radical week with Jesus.